Dear Anna, I'm lost. I've come to question the nature of reality. I don't expect you to read this letter. Why would you? If you had done to me what I have done to you, then I certainly wouldn't read it. And honestly, I don't know why I'm writing this, but something in me is saying that this might be the only chance I get to. I'm sure you have some questions, and I'll answer the most important ones first. For the past 10 years, I have been traveling through the country. That's it. Just traveling, with no real destination to anywhere. I confess that after a decade, I am still trying to run away from them. From you. No, I never tried to reestablish contact. While I thought of you every day, I never dared to try to reach out in fear I would mess up and leave some clue behind to where I was. I was, and I am, hell-bent on never coming back. Yes, I missed you. Yes, I loved you. But I fear you more. No, I won't explain myself. Those reasons are mine alone. Enough. I actually write to you to tell you this tale, which I expect you not to believe. It begins with what I surmise to be only 4 days ago, but I have lost track of time in this place, so I can't quite be sure. I was traveling the southwest region of the United States and had just crossed into New Mexico. I had driven through Aztec and had slept amongst the ruins of the old people, the people that came before, the ones who fed the land their dreams, that then replicated their reality. When I awoke, I was brutally hot as I had slept through the morning. I packed up camp as soon as I was able to made my way through. I had restocked my supplies in Farmington and made my way to Shiprock, then to Newcomb, Tohatchee, Nakaibito, Twin Lakes, and Yatahay, then finally Gallup and Zuni. Highway 491 snaked its way through those points, and in between were long stretches of desert. The valley itself used to be an ancient ocean where giant monsters swam and searched food and mates. At night, I can imagine them swimming in the skies, moving rhythmically to an ancient song that I can't hear, but all teeth and bite. My van had broken down on the other side of Shiprock Valley. I was off-road, but I could still see the highway and the cars passing through in the distance, so I wasn't too worried. It was too late in the evening to attempt to hitchhike back to Shiprock and decided to wait until the morning. I slept uneasily. I dreamt I was swimming in the ancient ocean when a large prehistoric creature came up. It came up behind me and swallowed me whole. I awoke screaming and covering in sweat. I got out of my van to let the morning cool air hit my skin and discovered a rare fog that had settled. I couldn't see the highway, but in memory served that I head north. I secured my van and set off, taking as much water as I could carry and very little else. I walked for 4 hours and thought that I should have come across the highway by now, so I checked my compass, and it confirmed I was headed in the right direction. I was a bit weary, and I decided not to press on as the fog was getting thicker, and I feared getting lost in the desert. It is not kind to those who are careless and make mistakes. It was all strange, as I had not seen nor heard of a fog to stay so long. It was usually dry, but there was enough moisture in the air that settled upon the soft sand that it preserved my footprints. I could clearly see my path marked, and I breathed a little better. That didn't last long. The further I made my way back, the fog seemed to lessen its grip, and shapes began to form within the haze. The hulking bushes of the desert dripped with moisture, and I could see the mad scramble of animals that took advantage of this rare opportunity. Scorpions, spiders, mice, and hares rustling the fog-covered bushes that gave off the impression that it was a living thing. I tried not to look at them and concentrated upon my path. And when I looked up before me, off in the distance, a shape began to conjure. It was much larger than a bush, and as I got closer, I got more cautious. I shouted at the object, hoping that it was a stray cow, but it did not stare at my rousting. I picked up a clump of dirt and threw it, but it landed 10 feet away harmlessly. Slowly, I continued forward, and the shape gained more detail, and I began to calm down as I recognized that its shape as that of a busted-up Ford pickup. An old one. The ones you see in silent films, dented and rusted and half-covered in sand. My footprints went right past it, which was impossible. How could I miss this the first time? I continued along my prints, which ventured right past the driver's side door, which hung open. I hesitantly peeked in. Sitting upon the driver's seat was a rattled leather journal. I didn't want to pick it up, but I did, and as I held it in my hand, I thought this couldn't possibly exist. I sat down in the seat behind the broken steering wheel and read the entire thing. The world changed forever afterward. It begins.
It is the year of our Lord, 1692. I have been sent ahead of Don Diego de Vargas to verify the temperament of the savages. We were rousted during the rebellion led by the traitor Pope, and have learned our lessons, that under the Lord's grace, we must maintain a heavier and sturdier hand against the heathens, so they may find peace among those who worship the true Lord and Savior. It is time for the stick and not the carrot, as the filthy English say. I travel light and alone, as is my preference. I left Mexico City over a year ago, as I tired of its pomp and returned to the country that I fell in love with 20 years ago. I traveled north up the Rio Grande, but ventured west before encountering any of the pueblos, as it was my intention to reach the village of Zuni, and to make contact with the El Moro, who I hear still resides among the heathens. I intend to find out why he did not get rousted, and set out like his brothers during the insurrection. It was either an act of God or an act of treason. I intend to be the judge of either outcome.
Second entry.
Not much to report. The weather has set in and has gotten colder. Every morning there is fog. Game is scarce. I ate Felipe. He was a good horse.
Third entry.
I seem to have lost my way. Zuni should be in the mountains, but I have not come across them. Is it possible that the pueblo has been abandoned and the people gone? May God have mercy on their souls.
Fourth entry.
I am being followed. The fog is getting thicker as I continue north.
Fifth entry.
I have been walking for 4 days and have come across the tiny spring that comes out of the mountain. The heathens call this place Nakaibito. I shall rest here and wait for my guest who still follows.
Sixth entry.
A storm sets in. I must continue north and seek shelter of the rocks. No sign of my pursuer.
Seventh entry.
I didn't beat the storm. I see no shelter. My world has become white. I cannot see my pursuer, but I sense that he is still there. There is a presence, and not just one. He has gained a companion. I continue north, and the days and nights blend as they follow, and their presence grows. It was not long until I felt the numbers tripled. If they were the heathens, then I would be dead by now. Why just follow? What do they hope that I will lead them to?
Eighth entry.
The cold. It's all I know now. Not its stingingness, but its nothingness.
Ninth entry. Undecipherable. Tenth entry.
I live still. By the Lord's mercy, I was saved by his hand. All was a blur. I remember nothing but the whiteness of the storm that dumped two hands of snow upon the ground. I must have passed out, because what I experienced next surely was but a dream. I dreamed that the pursuers had caught up to me, and it was none other than Don Diego de Vargas himself in the lead, with the holy banners flying both sides of his mount. He offered me his hand and lifted me up to the feet and told me to get in line, that we would conquer the heathens together and show them the strength and the true love of the one and only God. My heart bled with gratitude, and I thanked the Lord, but when I looked up to de Vargas's face, I saw underneath his golden helmet not the face of a man, but that of a skeleton. I looked around the others, and they too were not but the dead flesh housing bleached white bones. I was given a mount, and I attempted to run, but they reached for me with their skeletal fingers and ripped my flesh from my visage so that I might reach for them for what they were, all dead men. I cried. I screamed. Then I woke. I was in the shelter of one of the heathens who stood over me. He was shaking a turtle shell rattle and was chanting in his heathen tongue. It seemed that he was trying to curse me and send me to hell. I moved away and noticed that I was lying upon an enormous sand painting. It was filled with images of pagantry, and fearing for my eternal soul, I fought the savage and killed him. As I held his head into the very sand, he hoped would devour my soul. I prayed for his salvation while he struggled, and when he was still, I baptized him with little spit I could muster. Then I fled the small wooden shelter, but not without first setting it ablaze. I left the devilish hovel to flames.
11th, 12th, 13th. Entry missing. 14th entry.
It had been some time. How long I am uncertain. The days blended together, and I still lost, and this time I wondered if I am the one who is dead. I traveled miles across the land, but have gotten nowhere. The same mountains I try to get to keep stretching away. I have been out of water for 2 days. But I do not thirst. I have been without food, and yet I do not hunger. This must be through God's grace and will.
15th entry.
I no longer have need of sleep. I have seen the sun set and rise many times. I know not what madness traps and haunts this land, but it has seeped into me.
16th entry.
The days are passing faster and faster, and the visions have set in. The air has gotten colder, yet while I noticed it, it has yet to affect me. The fire too no longer warms my skin, so I have stopped entirely with the practice. I sit in the dark under God's canopy and try to wonder at the creation. Instead, I fear. How long will God protect me? Or is this actual torment?
17th entry.
I have come across a companion. He is a god, but not my god, the one true god. At first I thought him the devil, and I tried to pray him away, back to the damnation of hell. My faith was not strong enough. He was a peculiar-looking god. His head was flat, and it seemed to shimmer as he moved, disappearing in one spot and reappearing in another. He looked at me curiously, face hidden behind an expressive mask that was round and flat. The ends of the mask were decorated with brightly colored feathers that shook and rattled when he moved. He came in the night. I didn't feel his presence, nor did I hear his footsteps. It was like he stepped through the folds of the world. He was just there, across from me, looking at me as if I were but a bug. We sat in silence as the hours passed. Morning never came, and it seemed we sat there for days. Finally, he stood up and faced the east. He spoke loudly in his heathen tongue. His hand reached into a pouch that hung from a leather strap around his neck and pulled out a yellow powder that he sprinkled into the air. I noticed that the sun was finally threatening to break the surface of the horizon. The long night had passed. I thanked God out loud. The talking God gave me a look, and something odd passed through my being for the first time. I felt ashamed of my faith. I turned away, and when I turned back, he was gone. I felt rejected.
18th entry.
4 days have passed, yet the sun has not set. As I walk north into the valley filled with the gigantic rock structures that tower above the ground, I notice that the sun was fixed upon its position. There was a large mesa ahead whose shadow I hoped to rest under when the sun was blotted out. I looked up and hoped against hope that night had finally come, but it was immediately blinded as whatever had blotted out the hot sun was gone. The air suddenly cracked and stung my arm, which had my hair stand on end. The top of the mesa darkened, and a giant bird filled the sky. It was monstrous. It flapped its wings, and the air created giant dust devils that sucked and cleared the valley of both shrubs and rocks. The air itself left my body. The habit of breathing caused me to choke, and then discovered I did not need to breathe. The bird circled the valley. Then I saw it dive. It clutched something in its talons, and I could hear and feel the rip of the flesh and scream of the pain and surprise. Its death echoed across the valley. The bird then turned to the monstrous towers and disappeared among the folds between the rocks. I did not know how long I sat and waited for it to reappear. Sometime, as the day loomed long and I could feel but not be bothered by the heat, the talking god returned. He repeated his ritual, and the night finally came. I did not move. I sat through time and waited for it to end.
End of journal. Once I finished the journal, I walked back to my van and slept. When I awoke, it was only to contemplate what I had read. A pattern emerged. Sleep. Dream. Think. I'm not sure for how long, but when I emerged from my van, the world I knew had passed. I emerged into a new world. I once heard a story told to me by a medicine man. He said that when the people emerged from the four worlds, monsters followed them. The people had thought that they found peace, but instead discovered that death had followed them, and they despaired. It is then that the hero twin stepped up, and with weapons given to them by their father, the sun, they went across the country and slayed the monsters. One-eyed monsters, two-headed behemoths, monsters made of water, monsters made of electricity, monsters made of rock, those that crawled, those that flew. Each one they killed, and their body parts were strewn across the land and became natural parts of the world. The land was at peace, but the world was haunted by the deaths. And the land remembers. If you listen to it, dear sister, then it will tell you its stories. I bid you farewell, sweet Anna. I hope to see you again, and that when I do, you will accept me for who I am and not who I was. I don't know if you'll get this letter, but maybe the universe will be kind and allow it to slip through the curtains of reality and reach your steady hand. I love you, now and forever, in this universe and the next, your sister.
El Campo Santo was made in the shadow of the Sandia Mountains in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico by Blackout Theater Company. Our goal is to tell the stories of Albuquerque, New Mexico on stage, screen, and anywhere else you are. This podcast was made possible with generous support from the City of Albuquerque City Council Department of Arts and Culture, New Mexico Arts, and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. If you like this podcast, you should check out our Season 1 of El Campo Santo and another podcast, Pret 101. If you would like to learn more about our plays and any other works, check out our website at blackouttheater.com.